You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny, well, not so sunny Coco, Florida today. We are coming to you live from our studio right here at AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC. We are also heard on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And you can hear us live on the web. Correct, Miss Ellen?
That's right. On 1510 WWBC, you just hit that on-demand button and you get us live right from your computer.
Right. And I, as our dedicated listeners and friends of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends know, our show is quite informative. It's very educational. We have a lot of fun. And it is an unscripted show, so we're not held responsible for what we say.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Although, it comes with responsibility.
Although we all know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, and we do play nice.
Yes, we do.
Because it is a gift. It is really a gift to be able to be here on the radio every Monday and spread good information and good cheer and have people actually listen and reach out to us and ask us to continue what we're doing. And so for that, keeping community radio alive is really important, not just to me, but to all of us. Amen. And Ellen, thank you so much for being here with me almost 9 years.
It's amazing.
We have an action-packed show today. We have our good friend who I think I'm now going to call him the RN of the show. He is our registered nurse, Matt Price. He's going to be on the second segment, and he's going to talk a little bit about what he is fighting for as part of the nurses' union at Wusthof Hospital, and not just for the nurses in Wusthof, but nurses all over the United States who are the heroes of the COVID-19 fight right now, as well as all healthcare and everyone else who is doing what they can to help. And we also have Catherine Rudloff, mm-hmm. who is the executive director with We Venture, and she's here to share some really valuable information about what We Venture is doing to help right here in Brevard. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And today's one of those days that all of our listeners out there today, get a pen and paper, because there's going to be some great information shared that you'll probably want to write down and follow up on.
And check the website. Their website, whoever designed it, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Did
you.
It?
No.
It's really so easy, user-friendly. Yes. But before we go to our show and our guest, Catherine Rudloff, I just want to say, give a shout out to all the children, all the students in the United States of America who woke up one day and their lives were changed. They were told that they could not attend their brick and mortar school anymore, whether it was a public school or charter school or private school, who at this point knows. But the children in the United States of America and their parents and their teachers and educators all over the 50 states, they stepped up to the plate. And I have to say, the children are handling this COVID-19 better than most parents. Wouldn't you agree?
I would.
Our children, the future of the United States, they stepped up and they're studying and they're following their lesson plan and they're listening and they're doing, because you know why? Children understand when you speak to them in a manner that this is of urgency and this is what's happening. So, you know, I just thought, you know, all the kids who are home and having to take care of their brothers and sisters and having to listen to mom and dad, thank you so much, because you are the future. And have a heart, because we all believe that the United States is going to come out of this COVID-19 stronger, more united. And I do believe people are going to reevaluate and reset and respond with respect in their lives, in their homes, and to each other. Because I like what Catherine just said. What did you say about being all of us together? What you learned in school about the word
love? Oh, well, love. I went to Catholic school growing up, and there were a few definitions of love we learned, but the one that I always recall is that love is willingly desiring the good of another. And I think that's just what we're all asked to do at this time, is to love others and sacrifice ourselves a little bit.
Right. And be thy brother's keeper, right? In thoughts, words, and action. Okay. How much better can you that be spelled out?
And the thing that they're learning too, a lot of the children that are learning from home are learning about divergent thinking, right?
Yeah.
Thinking outside the box, which they don't typically get in school anymore. So this is a really great lesson for all those young entrepreneurs that are thinking about, you know, what they're going to do for their future and so forth, about the fact of how to overcome adversity and how to overcome challenges like this and still make a stream of income.
Well, this is why it's great to have We Venture right here in Brevard County, Florida. And their mission is great, you know, no cost, one-by-one consultations, purposeful networking events, and so much community discussions that go on around. So we're going to bring in our guest, Catherine Rudloff, to tell us a little bit about herself and being the executive director. I love your title. And what she does at We Venture. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, We Venture is a SBA-funded women's business center at the Florida Institute of Technology. So the U.S. Small Business Administration funds centers like We Venture all around the country to be kind of the boots on the ground of the federal government to help small businesses succeed. And generally we're doing, in the best of times, helping businesses launch and grow, get access to funding, or as you mentioned, low or no cost consultations and programs. But in a crisis like what we're experiencing now with this COVID-19, we are on the ground helping businesses respond and helping entrepreneurs who are inspired when challenges arise to do something new, to help those entrepreneurs then find their way in this new normal. So our phones and our staff are dedicated to, because everything's virtual now, so we can't do in-person meetings, yeah. But our phones and our staff are committed to helping small businesses. You know, whether you're trying to launch a new idea and you see this as a tremendous opportunity to start a new business, or whether you're an existing business that has been obviously impacted, as almost all businesses have, by the social distancing policies, we can help you navigate not just the federal response programs that are available, but also just general business strategy. And how are you going to pivot? How are you going to work on your business and come out stronger and more sustainable in the end?
So how'd you end up in this role? Because the last time I saw you, you were working consulting with the mm-hmm. Business Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing this job, and you're doing a great job at it, mm-hmm. I might add.
Thank you. Yeah, no, so I joined We Venture just in January, just a few months ago, and was very excited to take on this position. I had been working in business advocacy for the last 4 years as the executive director of Business Voice Political Committee. And this was a great opportunity to take on a full-time position focusing on advocacy for women. We Venture does, most of our programs are open to businesses, you know, whether you're male, female, kind of, we like to call them gender neutral. But We Venture does particular programming for women's leadership and to make sure that female entrepreneurs have access to funding and resources that they might otherwise not.
Well, you know, in normal times, a person who wants to open a business has a lot of anxiety and fear because they don't know what it's, fear of the unknown, right? You're putting your talents and gifts and passion and money into something mm-hmm. that you're not sure if you're going to get an investment on your return. But in these trying times with the COVID-19, are you hearing or seeing or having to counsel people who are very anxious right now?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the only thing I would say to counterpoint to that is entrepreneurs are a very special breed of people, and entrepreneurs really do see opportunity where others don't. And entrepreneurs have a dedication to their idea or their cause when they know that it is a good idea or that they have a quality product, you know, whatever it is. We like to call it that relentless pursuit. And so entrepreneurs will find a way, and that's exactly what we're seeing a lot of local business owners do, is find their way. Yes, we certainly have the calls where people are on the verge of giving up. We have the people that if this goes on for another 3 months, you know, it will be very difficult for their business to come out, but they are committed today to doing all they can to find their way. And that's why I love working with entrepreneurs. They are a very optimistic group because they see an opportunity where there's not. They see that something can be done and they will pursue it.
And that's why it's so good to have We Venture in town right here to guide and offer experience and wisdom. And you all partner up with a lot of businesses and people who also volunteer time to help as well.
A large portion. So one of the programs that makes us so successful is that we do have a lot of individuals in the community and throughout the region who volunteer to come back and help these entrepreneurs starting their business. And so our most successful program, our Ignite 360 mentoring program, we pair a custom team of consultants for each business. So if a business says they're going to come through our program, we set up specific program goals and objectives, whether they're looking to overcome strategic growth, whether they have an operations hurdle they need to overcome, or like our businesses are experiencing today, they have this change in normal and they need to readjust their business plan or processes to adjust to new normals. We put together a custom team of consultants who volunteer their time, and it's basically like getting free professional consulting. And then it's very much monitored, and on an ongoing basis, we have programs for either 3 or 6 months, and they'll walk with you as your strategy team to help you and your business come out for more sustainable growth on the other side.
Yeah, and a lot of people enjoy doing that.
Well, I've been doing it for six
coaching.
Years. And I've been a facilitator for the Ignite 360 program for over 6 years. Well, just about 6 years, actually. And it's been amazing. And it's like a board of directors, actually.
It is.
It's
yeah.
Like
and you've seen a lot of people thrive, and you've also seen a lot of people that gave it up.
You know, even the people that maybe had given it up were giving it up for something else.
Right. But mm-hmm.
They realized
something.
They learned something.
Yes,
and
they always did.
It's still an amazing experience, no matter. Everyone that's gone through the program, it's been an amazing experience.
Entrepreneurs do often feel that they need advice and guidance from people they can trust. And so the success of the program comes when we have mentors that develop that rapport and where they understand that they're doing this for the good of your business. And maybe they're telling you things that you don't want to hear hard for you to implement.
Well, you have to be able
but
to
everyone
listen.
Agrees that
I listen to Ellen.
Our end objective mm-hmm. is to see you stronger than when you came into the program and that everyone really signs a commitment to help the business get there.
Well, it sounds like it's all about growth.
It is.
It is.
That's our goal, is to help entrepreneurs
grow. It's about growth,
grow.
And it's about also respect and doing it with confidence. When you walk into a room and you say, I want to do this, I think body language has a lot to do with what people say, right? And they want to be confident and they want to be able to open this business and see it thrive and see it grow. But a big part of that is taking the advice from people who's been there before, because not everybody have the same experience. And it's good to hear that.
Entrepreneurs often, they do feel isolated and that, you know, as there's a children's book, you know, this is your idea and you want to see it grow. And being able to find folks that you can trust to help you nurture your idea and watch it grow is really what we're all about.
It's like a ship and sailing, right? You know, this I always admire my deceased father, of course. Because I know once my sister came home with her husband and he lost his job and she was pregnant and he was 20 and my sister was 18. And my dad said, well, don't despair. What are you good at? And he said, really, I'm not good at much at all. All he did was stock shelves in a big grocery. And my dad said, there has to be something you're good at. And he said, well, I know how to make these little Indian delicacies called doubles. And my father said, well, I'll give you 5 pounds of flour, 2 pounds of garbanzo beans, some salt, pepper, and a bottle of oil. And he said, go home and make that and sell it. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law took that advice. I mean, back in the day, there was no business plan. It was just the experience of a dad. And my brother-in-law made it, and he sold and made a profit. And the next day, my father said, well, today you'll buy 10 pounds of flour mm-hmm. and 5 pounds of garbanzo beans, and you'll make these doubles and you'll sell them. And my brother-in-law ended up employing about 10 people, being
awesome.
Extremely successful. And my sister passed away, but they passed the trade on to their children. And that doubles making business. I mean, they're actually one of the best in Trinidad and Tobago. But it was my father's wisdom and advice. And, you know, you show them the way, and they did it. So I sometimes
it doesn't come naturally. Owning a business and finding your way, and unfortunately, that's what a lot of entrepreneurs who've been successful in our boom market of these last few years, when we're now seeing customers slow down, we're seeing whose business plan was actually in order or not, whose books were in order or not. And that's one of the services that WeVenture tries to offer is for those entrepreneurs where you have things within your business that you now realize you should be working on or improving. We like to say, you know, that's whether it's operations or human resources or supply chain management, that we like to come in and help you really assess and find the areas where your weakness is so you can come out more sustainable on the other end of a crisis like this. Because a lot of business owners, they're good at that thing they do, you know, whether it's making the treat or whether it's making the product that they sell.
But what is it about the books? Everybody hates keeping the books.
It's very difficult. It can be very challenging for people. Yeah, it's something that doesn't come naturally. And a lot of times accounting, and especially if you are dealing with, you know, your accounts receivable and you have delays and then it's just you, or if you, especially if you deal business with friends or customers become close, a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that aspect. And you know, it's just something you have to learn to master to be successful, or learn to hire the right people to help you master it. But
so while we have everybody on a slowdown, learn QuickBooks.
You know. Yeah,
learn.
I know.
If you're not taking this slowdown to train yourself and your staff, you're really missing an opportunity. And the same thing is true for a restaurant or the hospitality industry. How can you be training your staff? How can you be working on your facility? How can you be using your time wisely? You know,
it's a gift right now. You have the gift of time. So I'm sure you see a lot of businesses that are facing, they have dilemmas right now. What are some of the typical problems you see with small businesses right now locally?
Well, obviously it's with the social distancing policies, it's either total shutdown or a extreme, you know, cutback in revenue source from customers or whatnot. And then supply chain disruption would be after that. So the challenge that most businesses for the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks that we have been helping with is to understand the different relief packages that both the state and the federal government have been trying to offer to small businesses to see what they might qualify for and to help them actually apply for it. Now, we've seen recently that the federal programs have run out of funding. Our state bridge loan program has run out of funding. Congress currently is rumored to have reached a deal with the administration for another relief package coming through. And at that time, whenever they do vote on something, WeVenture will stand ready to again help small businesses understand what their options are. And for some, the answer is either they don't qualify or it's not a good fit for their business plan, but it's worth looking into and understanding
the
programs.
The application. And I noticed that you guys are helping right now with this response to COVID-19. You're helping to coach businesses, you're assessing, helping them how to respond. Different relief programs options, but are you finding that a lot of people are getting frustrated?
Absolutely, yeah. So the rollout of these massive relief programs are unique for two reasons. One, because of the extreme nature of this event. All of these emergency programs are designed as they would for like natural disaster recovery, but usually that only impacts one, maybe two or three states at most at a time. This is unprecedented with the, you know, that all 50 states have been declared emergency and that they're trying to get funding and relief packages out across the nation. And then it's also unique because it is impacting every single sector. There's really not an industrial sector that hasn't been impacted, you know, either through, you know, total shutdown or supply chain or what have you. So the sheer volume of businesses that are in crisis right now, it far exceeds anything that the government has been able to do thus far. And I would even say will be able to do. You know, they're going to try to help and the secretary and the treasury and our SBA director on every call and information we've gotten from them. They want to be helping businesses, but it is unrealistic for any of us on the ground to think that the relief will ever be enough to help every business. Like there's so much hurting globally, right, not even just in the United States right now. It's really unprecedented.
Right. Do you feel like the community will transition out of this?
We will transition. We absolutely will. And, you know, the Tourist Development Council put out a really great bit of information that I had shared with me that was talking about the timeline. Like they've already done surveys of people. How long until you feel you know, you'll travel again? How long until you want to go to a restaurant again? How long until your normal purchasing activities start again? And the reality is even if things start to open up successfully, as they're talking about in these next couple of weeks, it will take months and months before people are comfortable doing activities in large crowds and in situations that we used to take as just commonplace before. So even if we pretend the healthcare crisis could be over, which I doubt it will be, but let's just pretend, the economic impact will still go on for quite a while.
Right.
And then the longer the healthcare crisis goes on, the longer that people are in fear or that there is risk of another outbreak, whether that's this summer or if we have to see what might happen in the fall, the longer the economic slowdown will be. So the unfortunate reality is it was a worst case scenario. We could either pick proactively economic pain in hopes to avoid a healthcare crisis, or you end up with the worst case scenario where you experience the economic shutdown and the pain of that while still having a healthcare crisis. Now, thus far in Florida, I wouldn't say that we've reached the crisis levels of New York, so maybe we can get out of this with just the healthcare crisis, but there's still not a lot of confidence in the community that we are past the risk of a healthcare crisis
right.
as well.
Because people are really, really worried. And the thing is, it's not just healthcare workers that need masks. I think almost every industry, people want the employees
to be protected. Well, the CDC recommendations right now are that everyone wear a mask when you're out in public and that you're still practicing your social distancing. And it's going to be very important for business owners to consider how they will respond. Will you let customers into your facility if they're not wearing masks? Or will you be the business that says, you know, these are recommendations and not things we have to follow and you know, go about as your own? So every business, really, this is a time for that, as we said before, you know, your moral compass and how,
yes.
how far are you willing to stretch the personal inconvenience on you, your business, your customers for the sake of the health of others.
So when was WeVenture established? I mean, it's been years.
It is. Yeah. So Florida Tech was originally awarded the grant from the SBA in 2007. To form the Women's Business Center. And yeah, we've been helping in our website, I guess we should say, for more information about the services we do offer, is weventure.fit.edu. We have a whole COVID-19 response resource page available where we're providing accurate information that is directly from the federal government. A lot of times news or other resources, you know, it can get confusing about what they're reporting, but we'll link directly to a primary source when we can for a lot of the relief packages and who it applies to. And then, as always, our business coaches stand ready to help one-on-one.
And you're always looking for business coaches. You're always looking for volunteers, right?
We do. We rely very heavily. So if you're an experienced entrepreneur, professional, we love to have you come and help us help other entrepreneurs find their success.
So let's pretend there's someone who's sitting at home and wants to make hot sauce because they have a lot of peppers and they're getting a little bit, right now they're getting discouraged and frustrated with what's happening. What would you tell that woman if she called you and say, I have an idea, it's been brewing in my mind for so long and I need some help?
Well, we have our best program for aspiring entrepreneurs. We call it our Goal-Oriented Entrepreneurs Making Strides, or GEMS for short, is just gearing up, actually. And we have another info session, I believe, next Monday for the GEMS program. But that's an 8-week, maybe 10-week program where we walk people from your idea iteration to writing a business plan to doing your research to understand your market place. And the goal is by the end of that program, you will actually file paperwork and launch your business.
Right.
So that's the type of program that we offer, that we are always steering, as we say, aspiring entrepreneurs.
I know your success rate is pretty high with that.
Well, this will be the second or third year that we've offered the GEMS formal program. Prior to that, our, you know, launch system that we would put people through was still very much individualized and custom. And we're so blessed here on the Space Coast that we have such a high volume of entrepreneurs that this formal program was actually the best way for us to start moving forward, because we do see every year. I think last year we helped over 19 different businesses launch. That's a high volume of entrepreneurs. That's just who's going through our programming.
Yeah, because I saw on the website where they said on WeVenture, they trained over 10,000 clients and helped over 62 business owners to grow and expand through the Ignite program. Ignite 360.
Since it was founded in 2012.
And that's pretty good, though, because where would these people go for advice? And not everybody can go for a four-year business degree.
Exactly. Right? So if you can't afford a business degree, you know, we offer a lot of classes and, again, the coaching services. And a lot of times our Florida Tech faculty are on our teams of mentors or our instructors. And then a lot of times entrepreneurs, they don't need the MBA. They just need to make sure they are on the right track.
They need
to keep
those books.
They need to keep the books. They need to make sure that they do have their market strategy really thought through and defined. And so WeVenture and other women's business centers like us stand ready to help small businesses launch, grow, and sustain.
I bet you see a lot of people, a lot of families. You know, sometimes sisters have ideas or a family has an idea. They want to do a family business. Do you have anyone that comes in like a group like
that? Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see families, spouses, friends. You see, you know, parents and children with great business ideas. And I think my favorite partnership that I've seen is when, you know, a family of entrepreneurs had kids that then had a great idea that could help the mother's business rather than say, hey, mom, you should do this as part of yours. She said, no, you need to go find the technology, make it happen, and I will be your first customer. And then raising that second generation of entrepreneurs and helping them, as you said, find their way.
Yeah.
And we personally know a few of the people. Not that they ran through the WeVenture program, but we personally know a lot of families that and Sly Kerner.
Yes. Well, you know what? If you could make something and share the idea.
Absolutely.
But
and revolutionize an entire market, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of it, is when you see somebody that really not only takes the business, but then actually makes an entire another market that you never would expect.
Well, you know what it is? It always goes back to take your talent, gift, and passion and turn it into profit. And I do feel like our economy is going to come back stronger. I think we have great leadership like WeVenture at FIT and Catherine Rudloff. Mm-hmm. And I think we ought to be, you know, we have to be giving you guys a pat on the back for staying with the people who need you right now and doing it through social distancing. But you're using whatever tools you have available to help people, mm-hmm. which I think is great, because there's a lot of anxiety right now.
Well, our community will bounce back. I mean, we are very heavily tourist dependent community, like a lot of Florida, but we're actually the most diverse micro economy within Florida because of our fantastic work of our Economic Development Commission and all of our communities over the years. So we have very strong other pillars with our aerospace and our tech and our communications. We will respond. It will still hurt because tourism will be down, and that's just a big chunk of how Florida operates, and certainly the slowdown happening during our peak in season months will be felt year round by businesses who lost out on their peak business. But our area will rebound, and we're going to see that come through, and we
I
can
like
see it
optimism.
In our
optimism. So before we go off this segment, what can we do to help? What can the community do? I mean, we can donate time. We can have people sign up to be coaches. What else can we do to help you all?
Well, right now is the time to love your small business. You know, you've seen it passed around on social media where they say, you remember all those times you said, hey, support my school drive or the church this for this or that, and your small businesses are the ones who give the gift certificate and step up every time to do it or sponsor. Well, this is the time they need us. And so if there are small businesses, whether it's in your neighborhood or within the county or the larger region that you can support, they need your support right now. Whatever it is that you can order, buy, or give them as be their client and be for them now. And then for WeVenture, you know, we love that people want to come and volunteer, but what we love even more is your referral, so that when you have that small business in your life or you have an entrepreneur that you know is struggling right now, please let them know that WeVenture is here to help them, and that they can visit weventure.fit.edu, and one of our business coaches or any of our programming is completely open and available to them, and that we want to help them succeed.
And people shouldn't be fearful about calling you, because any question is a good question.
Any question is absolutely a good question.
They shouldn't say, well, because I don't have a college degree, I shouldn't get started. They should call you anyway, because the human capital is what you've got in your brain, what
absolutely.
You can do, right?
Entrepreneurs come in all shapes and sizes and backgrounds, and there is no path to entrepreneurship that is wrong. Everyone, as I said, if they are determined and they are willing to work for it, they can find their way, and we would love to help them do that.
Oh, what a great segment. I wish we could have her on again, you know.
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
And you, thank you for sponsoring her.
Well, I believe in the program.
Re-venture.
I believe in the program. I've been doing it a very long time, and I've seen the success. And all of the business owners that I've helped have remained friends. And I've been able to support them in local business and try and get them referrals as well. So it's a fantastic partnership, and so few people know about it that we really need to spread the word. So, but we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, our other small business sponsors here locally, and we'll be right back with Matt Price right after this break.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard on the World Wide Web. And we had a really great first segment with Catherine. She's got such a nice name. Catherine Rudloff, who is the executive director at WeVenture, And she shared some really valuable information with our listening audience. Ellen, what she shared with us was really cool because a lot of people feel like they have to have a business degree in order to open a business. Right. Or they have to have something concrete. But not really so. They will teach you at WeVenture how to do this. Take your talent, your gift, your ideas, and turn it into a profit. And you know what? It's your dream. Why not?
Exactly. And a lot of people do have the talent and the gifts and the abilities to do it. They've just not been shown or given the confidence to be able to do it or had some homework come back and you said that that's exactly right and they thought, oh, geez, I thought I was doing it wrong for so long.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
But isn't that what we're all here on planet Earth on this beautiful earthly journey is to reach out and help each other. And there are people that do invest their time, energy, and money into places like that.
Don't forget, the first big push of this was when the space program kind of defunct in 2009, where we had all these people that were laid off from the Space Center. And they had these job titles that were like inches long on and obviously no marketable trade to go into, right? I mean, how do you go from a systems analysis engineer of plates on a rocket to doing something that was local because they didn't want to move or weren't able to move their family. So, you know, the big entrepreneur push really happened in 2009, which was perfect timing for Ignite 360 to be coming out because it really helped a lot of those people as well.
Right.
And those businesses are still thriving.
Well, you know, a lot of people stay in jobs too because of health insurance, because of benefits. And so when it's time for them to open their own business, they have a lot to think about.
Absolutely. They
have, so, I mean, it's great to have the advice.
Well, the Affordable Care Act actually helped a lot of people when it came to that.
But Catherine leaves me with four words as she waits for this segment, and she could listen to what Matt Price has to say. Wisdom, compassion, courage, and all-around goodness. So
yes.
Thank you. And so now we have Matt Price, who is our resident RN of Viewpoint with
exactly.
Sita and Friends. I just love him. You know, he's so real. And the thing is, what we need in our world right now is people who actually are on the front lines and are doing nursing 365 days a year and understand the struggles of a nurse, a medical assistant, a receptionist, people who actually keep us healthy in the hospitals. So welcome.
Thank you.
So tell our listeners again a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a critical care nurse for 23 years, and I've been involved with our nurses union at a local hospital here for about 9 years now. I came today to talk about not just the nurses and not just the CNAs, but all the people that are affected in healthcare and all the things that touch healthcare today and how we can better protect them.
We need that. We need somebody to look out for us because, you know what, we're hearing every time you turn on the news or you're on Facebook, you're seeing where are we with the COVID-19? Where are we getting tested? Are we getting tested? Where's the facility? Do we have enough swabs? Do we have enough personnel to take the swab from point A to point B? And do we have a person sitting to test it? And then do we have someone to actually report it to us? And there's a lot of
correctly,
stuff going on.
Reporting it correctly.
Going on behind the scenes. You and I were just talking about, we read something today in the paper where there's a certain area in Florida that's going to have to be retested.
Yeah, here in Brevard County.
Good old Brevard.
200 unconfirmed tests that, you know, apparently are going to have to be redone. And for some reason, that's higher than any other area in the state of Florida. I don't know the issue. I don't know if it was a contaminant in the test. We know that initially, when we first started testing, that there were some
22?
Tests that came from Atlanta.
You said 22 of them? How many?
Over 200.
Over 200?
Yes.
That, you know, Ellen, I don't know if you know about nursing, right? But sometimes you have to collect like a stool sample, right? And you collect it, you put the patient's name, the date, the time, the nurse, the doctor, whatever. But you forget one little thing on that little label, right?
Yeah.
And what do you hear the next day? Oh, specimen contaminated. We have to redo it all over again. Now, think about doing it 200 times, but at least it's a blood test. They're going to be drawing blood. But that's
a
nightmare
for
that's a nightmare for some of us in nursing is when something gets contaminated and it has to be redone, right?
Right, right. And that did happen initially when we first started doing tests. We know that there was a contaminant with a number of the tests that came out of Atlanta. And so it delayed how we were going about testing people. And here in Florida, you know, we've had very long delays in test turnaround time, and part of it was due to that. But since that time, we've got a lot more companies online that are making tests now, and we're still waiting for the specific serum testing to be done that's only for COVID-19. A lot of the serum testing that's out there, the serum antibody tests that are on the market now, not only contain COVID-19, but they have other coronaviruses that may affect that test, whether it's a false positive or a false negative. And so those are issues that are delaying results. And specifically to healthcare, you know, that's a big deal of how we're going to treat somebody, whether or not we think they're well enough to be discharged to home, or if
we need to
monitor them closer.
They have them in categories if it's mild or severe. And the thing is, I understand people wanting to get testing, and we should. But here's the thing. Then what? Once they test you and you're positive, then we have to treat. So
right.
That's the, like you're saying, that's the problem. You tell people to go home for 14 days and quarantine themselves in their houses and use whatever they have. If you have a trash bag, put it over your clothing, put on a mask, make a mask, because there's other people in the home. Whatever it is, you have to protect yourself. But that person now is worrying about, how am I going to pay the bills?
Right.
How am I going to pay mortgage, lights, water, telephone, and buy food? I mean, this is serious stuff.
It certainly is. And, you know, the unemployment systems work differently in each state. And, you know, that's another issue that we've seen here in the state of Florida, is that the computer system has been overwhelmed with the number of people trying to apply for unemployment. And so...
why do you think the state was so backward? Because, I mean, unemployment insurance, all employers pay for that, so that when we have a crisis like this, we could help people. I mean, it's been backlogged for months in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I think we've just gotten accustomed to the system.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten accustomed to the system being to where we're used to denying a lot of people unemployment. And so now we have this large volume of people that need to apply at the same time, and the system just can't handle it.
I don't know. I remember correctly, the ACA, when we first rolled out the ACA too, we had the same problem. It crashed.
But
you're just not ready for that kind of volume. And websites and technology, you know, they're supposed to work in a certain way. But unfortunately, when they get overloaded like that.
Well, that's where you listen to somebody like Andrew Yang and you just send everybody a check. Because, you know, think about it. The time, energy, and effort people are spending to fill out the forms, get denied, whatever. We all know people are affected. And those with a kind heart who get the money and they don't need it, they are going to generously donate it to charities and things like that. That's been my experience with people that I know. But just send everybody a couple of $1,000 per month for 2 months until this thing rides over. But do you think that we're rushing to go back to normalcy, Matt?
I think we are. You know, we haven't seen what the projected numbers are for the peak, for specifically for our county or this area of Florida. We've not seen those yet. And so I think it would be premature for us to say that we should be opening our beaches and all these other things. And when we talk about doing that, it needs to be very specific and planned out well, so that we know that the proper precautions are in place, and that people are still following social distancing and things when we do open up.
Now, we should thank those who are actually listening.
Yeah.
We should thank the people who are actually doing the social distancing and staying at home, as difficult as it might be, because it's a lot of mental challenges, too, to stay indoors. But
out,
you can walk outside, you could do a dance video, you could, you know, talk to your friends and family on FaceTime. I plant. I have my own little kitchen garden going. I'm keeping busy. Actually, it was made for me. I'm loving being at home. I enjoy it.
Dr. B is definitely...
Oh, my God. I'm like in the backyard on my hammock in the front. I'm enjoying it. But I think we should thank people. So what's happening with the workman's comp insurance? Because I heard on the news that a lot of people were really taken aback when they found out that workman's comp does not pay for some of the nurses that are affected with COVID-19.
Yeah, and it's not just nurses. It's all the frontline workers that we're talking about. So the ones that are classified as essential workers are at risk of being exposed by someone coming into a business or, you know, in the case of nurses, obviously a hospital. And what we've been hearing is that there are already workman's comp insurance companies that are denying claims and telling workers that they have no proof that they didn't receive it at home versus at work. And so, you know, first responders have what's called presumptive eligibility, or many first responders have that built into their workman's comp insurance, but frontline workers do not necessarily have that. And I think that's something that we need to change right now. We need to make sure that our essential workers are being cared for, whether they're working in a grocery store to make sure that we're still eating, or whether they're working in a hospital or in another sector that is still essential. We need to make sure if they get ill with this that they're going to have that payments coming to them that we all pay into.
Yeah.
It's not something free that's handed to us.
I mean, when
it's
we
something
had our
that
practice,
we work for.
Yeah,
so.
When we had our practice, we had to pay unemployment insurance per employee.
Yeah, the employer and the employee pay
right.
into the system to make sure that when workers get sick, that it is there for them.
So, Matt, what happens to the nurses who you're getting paid an hourly rate, but now with COVID-19, a lot of nurses have to pay for childcare. They have to pay for extra help. I mean, what's happening right now to help with these additional costs?
Well, it just depends on the company. I mean, we see different things in different states and different companies going on. You know, when things first started happening, if you looked at like Starbucks, you know, they said their workers that they were going to be furloughing, they would be giving them their salary for 30 days. And kudos to those type of companies that's, you know, that step forward and do that right thing. But there are those other companies out there that aren't doing that. And so we see some workers that, you know, they have to try to have someone else take care of their kids, or they're having to stay home from work to do that. And so we've seen nurses that they have to stay home either on FMLA to care for their own kids, or maybe they have a chronic illness and they're at risk if they're at work, because we still do not have enough PPE. We don't have enough elastomeric masks. We don't have enough PAPR devices.
And that's not just here in Brevard.
And
that's N95s. All over.
Yeah,
that's all over
the country. Yeah. You know, so it's nice that Ford and other companies have stepped forward and they're making ventilators, but we still have a major problem with other supplies in the system to be able to care for all of these patients and put essential workers at lower risk.
I'm not sure if this is true, because not everything you hear is the truth, but they said in Wuhan in China, that I like saying China, I think of the president the way he says China, but they said in Wuhan, China, that a lot of people had the COVID virus under their soles of their shoes. But if that's the case, we were not covering our shoes in any healthcare facility when this first started.
No.
So did we bring the virus home? Of course, people like us who take our shoes off at the front door, it's probably stayed in the garage. But we're still walking in the garage.
Yeah.
So did we bring it home on our shoes?
It's possible. I mean, you know, and now that's one of the supplies that is running low as well. You know, gowns, gloves, shoe covers, all those sorts of things run low. You know, you see the pictures or videos from China, and they were spraying the streets and they were spraying different areas. And we really haven't seen that too much in the U.S. But, you know, now that we're seeing that data come in, that this virus can live fairly long on surfaces and on clothing and now shoes as well. You know, those are things that I would expect to see some precautions taken. But instead, what we've been seeing is actually the CDC is loosening up guidelines and regulations to try to extend the use of N95 masks and ration them because we don't have enough of them. And so nurses and frontline providers.
I was told by a physician friend of mine that one of the reasons why a lot of nurses are having difficulty and other staff members is because you're really supposed to be fitted for those N95 masks, but nobody's actually being fitted for it.
Well, a lot of people, at least at my workplace, have been fitted. We do that. That's a requirement of OSHA annual fit testing. Unfortunately, though, not everybody passes it. You know, the shape of your face, whether you've gained or lost weight, all those things can cause the mask
not
a beard, you know, that mask may not fit. And so, you know, fit testing is very important unless you use a PAPR. A PAPR actually doesn't require a powered air purifier as a PAPR. And it has a HEPA filter on its intake, and then it blows air up into the mask and face shield. Those do not require fit testing after the initial fitting. So those in some ways are better. They're more costly. So a lot of companies did not invest in PAPRs and elastomeric masks previously because of the cost of them up front. But what we're finding out now is over time, the elastomerics can be washed 100 or 150 times. You can wash with regular soap and water and let them dry, and they can be used 150 times without damaging them, where an N95 mask is not like that. An Yes. N95 mask is affected by many different types of things. We are finding now that there are some things that they believe to be okay to use to clean them, like vaporized peroxide and high intensity ultraviolet light. I don't want people to be confused with
those. Listen to all the stuff he knows.
Those people online, I don't want you to be confused with those ultraviolet lights that you see online at certain websites.
Right. But like, if you're buying it from
those
Spencer's,
are not the,
it's probably
the
not the
one.
Yeah. Right.
No, that's for a different reason. Right.
Yeah. Or wish.com or wherever.
You know what?
Right. Don't get those.
For the people who are tuning in, our listeners, our friends, who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with our friend Matt Price. He's a registered nurse who works in the ICU, and he's also the president of the Nurses Union,
yes.
Right? I said it correctly. But here's the thing, Matt. We're all watching, who are these professionals? Who are these people who are considered essential workers? They are our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our neighbors, our friends. I mean, come on, people. We're all in this together, right?
Yes.
We all know somebody on the front lines. But here's the thing. I'm watching housekeeping and janitors, not just here in Brevard, but all over. I just read an article about how should they be disposing the trash from the hospitals.
Right.
And is it being disposed of properly?
And the CDC says that it's okay to have routine handling of the trash, which is quite appalling to me because when you care for someone in a negative pressure isolation room, you know, that is considered infectious inside that room. And then suddenly you walk outside the room with the trash bag, and now the trash bag isn't infectious.
They're not double bagging
that
it like red
seem
bags.
Like common sense.
They're not doing the red bagging with it.
But that's what the CDC says. And so that's what the regulation is. So facilities that haven't taken upon themselves to take a higher standard on their own are not required to do that. So no, they don't put them into a red bag that's going to be incinerated. It's carried with all the rest of the trash that will go into a truck and will end up into a landfill somewhere.
Even the linen, right?
Right. The linen processing is also standard
is it the
processing.
Same?
Yeah, it's routine handling of linen is what the CDC requires. Even though as we just talked about, it could live on surfaces and on clothing for hours or days. So, we definitely need to protect those environmental workers and those laundry workers.
So are nurses using their own sick time if they become ill during COVID-19?
Yes.
If they're exposed?
Yes. You know, a lot of people think that the emergency sick leave that came out with the Coronavirus Response Act, that was 80 hours that was to be given emergency sick leave to people. That only applied to companies that had less than 500 workers. And many hospitals and healthcare corporations and other companies that are caring for people are much bigger than 500. So they are actually not held to that standard of giving that 80 hours of emergency sick leave. So if nurses do not have that time on their own, then they are going to be unpaid. And so, as you talked about earlier with pay, there's a lot of risk that these people, these frontline workers, are taking. And one of them is that they could become ill.
Yeah, and even
and be without pay.
Even housekeepers. Are housekeepers being fitted properly for N95 masks?
Right.
And I think about it. They're in the room.
When you have to hire on additional workers during this type of emergency, many of them may not be fit tested. If they weren't with the company last year, they may not have been fit tested. That's another regulation
the
CDC and OSHA has loosened up, is that they are not holding employers as accountable to education and training and fit testing during this time.
So, Matt, we have 2 minutes left. What can we do so that people who are wearing the three-piece suit, making over $200,000 a year, driving a really nice car, could understand what the frontline people are facing right now? What can we do? How can we sit down, socially distance with them, and say, hey, listen up?
Well, I think we need to just remember how simple it is. How would we want to be treated? How would we want our family members to be treated? Do we want them contracting this illness? We know that things have to be rationed for now, but why don't we have enough masks? Here we are a month or two out, and we still didn't have enough PPE. Is it a money thing that we're asking ourselves? So I think there's a lot of ethics involved to that. We need to know that to do the right thing, make sure that those workers are not being put at risk, that we ensure that they're, before they enter those areas, that they have the appropriate equipment. And if they don't, maybe we need to do like Starbucks, and we need to give them 30 days off with pay.
Yeah.
To make sure that they're not in a high risk
environment.
Well,
charity begins at home, right? Everybody should look clean in their own house. Look at what's happening in your hospital, in your corporations, in your home. Do it from within.
Right. And
because the rewards, you're going to be
And the neighbors are taking
immense.
Care of each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, our companies are neighbors too. And so we have to look out for each other.
Ellen, I say go to a six-hour workday for nurses and healthcare workers.
That's a great idea.
Because 6 hours wearing the mask is a lot better than 8 to 12 hours.
That's exactly right. And please be careful if you are buying masks online. Just make sure that you're buying, go to Etsy or something. Go to someplace that's closer. And thank you again for another great edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.